for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, Oil Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Exalted Glory Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 2nd, 2001. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Clement Humbard is the minister of the evening.
Now I want you to look up as we pray. The Bible said Jesus looked up, and if you have trouble praying sometimes with your eyes open, God will help you. Go and close them. But I want to tell you, we're not looking down all the time praying. Who's down? The enemy, underfoot. But where's he? Up. So let's look up. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the camp meeting. Thank you for every soul that's been blessed. Thank you for the Millers and the vision you've given them. Thank you, O God, for these special speakers. And dear Dr. Noel, Lord, O God, we praise you and worship and honor you. And we just thank you for all your goodness and mercy. Now, Lord, if I found favor in thy sight, grant me this mercy miracle. Give a fresh new baptism tonight. We know that John the Baptist had that baptism of repentance. You promised a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but Lord, we want a baptism of divine love in this place tonight. My God, I pray that first love will be renewed. I pray that we'll get lost in the love of God. You'll just settle so many questions for us. You'll give us so many answers. You'll make so many wrongs right. And you'll make the crooked places straight and the high and all the things. You'll bring them down and the rough places be made smooth if we just get lost in the divine love of Almighty God. Grant it through the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't count this on my sermon time. These days men shall depart from what? The faith. Give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If you want more faith, get more of the Word. Get the Word in you. Get the tape, being spiritual, and you see what we're talking about. It's a daily process, an hourly process, a moment process, but it's glorious with God. I don't even know the way to describe salvation other than it's a baptism of divine love. Of course, it's a lot of things. It's a whole lot of things. But how many just loved everybody when God saved you? Well, that ought to be just the beginning. Too many of us are like wasps. I understand that when a wasp hatches, he's big and plump. That's like when we get born again. We're just so full of the love of God. And oh, we just love everybody. But watch out. That wasp, after it's born, before long, it shrivels around the waist. Then watch out. It produces a stinger in its tail. You better not cross its doctrine. You better not say anything against the Baptist church. You better not say anything about holiness. You better not say anything about Pentecost. Zip, 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 zip. Oh, God, get us out of all the little foolishness and just get us lost. I want to just completely, don't you, brother? Just be lost in God's love.
Hallelujah.
I don't very much care the past scene, who said what said who, and what this is doing, that's doing, no. Some people just shocked at me, say, well, you've been on a national scene, and aren't you interested in what all these other ministries are doing? Don't come and ask me what one national ministry is doing, because I don't know. You'll know more about it than I do. I don't care. I want to know what the Holy Spirit of God is doing today. Main thing is what God's doing. And I honor those that God is using. I honor them for their work's sake. All right, God's ideal Christian. How many happy in the Lord? You love the Lord. Oh, the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. Now I'm going to mix two scriptures. With all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy mind, and all of thy strength. Wow, that's a pretty big order. Now, God commands love. That doesn't work in psychology. That doesn't work in human relationships for anyone to demand love. But God knows what He's talking about, because actually the Bible said the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. Love can be a teaching process. Love. So how many love the Lord again? I wonder, though, do we really love Him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? Brother, that's a pretty big order. I want to see God visit this world one more time with a great visitation, and I believe it's coming. I believe it's in the sovereignty of Almighty God, the crown rights of Emmanuel. God can do what He wants to, with whom He wants to, where He wants to, how He wants to. He doesn't answer to the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Nicholcost, Charismatic. He doesn't answer headquarters, hindquarters. He doesn't answer to your opinion, my opinion. God is still on the throne, and He can do it like He wants to do it. He can use whoever He wants to use. And I believe it's coming. But one way that that great move of the Spirit is going to come in these last days, I've been privileged to go on four continents and preach the gospel twice. Usually I run out of steam after about 30 days and run out of money, because no one, you know, I have no backing, no support, no organization, no denomination. And you have to support yourself, because on a missionary field, they expect, because Americans, and you've got polished shoes, you've got a suit on, you ought to come with two bags of gold to help them. And they do need help. I'm in agreement with that. They need help. But I'm just telling you, I run out of strength and run out of steam usually about 30 days, run out of money, and I have to come back. But all over the world, I see this, and here in America especially, there's an estimated 70 million people in America who were one time in the churches, and they're not in them today. Millions of people across America. One time, some of them were singing in the choir, ushering. Some of them were conducting prayer meetings. Some of them were teaching Sunday school. Some of them were pastoring churches. I was amazed, just in the last week or so, of the thousands of ministers, Southern Baptist Church, that quit preaching last year, I think it's 8,000. Well, maybe some of them, God didn't call them in the first place. Maybe they shouldn't have been preaching, but most of them, probably they did have a call of God on their life. Now, every one of us know people and families that's lost out with God. Now, if God sends revival to America, He's going to have to reach these people that one time loved God, knew God, and bring them back in. Is that right? Now, we're going to believe God for wonderful, glorious things. I just want to give you this lead-off scripture, and it's in Jude. It's God's ideal Christian. It said this, the 20th verse. But ye, beloved, it's talking about terrible ways people are murmuring and grumbling and complaining and all the rest in the last days. But it said this. But beloved, isn't that a wonderful term? Beloved. But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Uh-oh. And looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some, and have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, and even hating the garment that is spotted by the flesh. God's not our Christian, but here's what I want to emphasize. Keeping yourself in the love of God. You do not backslide over other people's sins. Quit kidding yourself. You backslide over your own sins. I've met people that said, when Jim Baker fell, I lost my faith. You didn't have it. Put it in Him. Put it in the God that never fails. I've had others, and some family just recently, it's not clear in my mind, but something to do right here, Hot Springs, of people coming in going, said, yes, and this uncle was on fire for God till Jimmy Swaggart lost out. You don't backslide. You use that for an excuse if you're backsliding. Amen. You don't backslide over other people's sins. You backslide over your own sins. Now, this thing of backsliding creeps upon us. Creeps upon us. You lose your first love slowly, slowly, slowly. The little foxes come in and spoil the vine. I remember I was in Little Rock, Arkansas about 50 years ago, and I Before we went on out into Indiana and evangelism to Cato Tabernacle and the Cincinnati Music Hall, another place where we'd hold 30-day, usually about 30-day revivals. But a young Baptist preacher, he came to me and said, "You know, I want to confess something." I said, "What it is?" He said, "I bought you a ticket to Going with the Wind. But," said, "I know how you believe and how you live." Now, we were young. He said, "So I went and saw it first and said, 'Oh, it's awful. I can't take you to it.'" I said, "Billy Fred, why not?" But I didn't go to theaters, but I just said, "Why not?" He said, "Oh, it's awful." I said, "Well, tell me." He said, "Well, in that movie, a lady is standing on the stairwell and going with the wind, and the fella is having a few words with her, and he says, 'I don't give a D. I don't give a damn.'" He is so shocked. He said, "I'm so embarrassed that I went. I feel like I'm almost backslidden." Good Lord, turn your TV on today and you'll see how deep America has gone into the cesspool of sin. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself. How many have been blessed in these meetings? How many have been blessed by these dear teachers? I want some witness and testimonies tonight. And you know, it's established a few weeks ago to be here. To be seen, you must stand up, right? To be heard, you must speak up. And to be appreciated, you must shut up. Don't tell us how the devil's chased you all week. Just tell us, after the devil chased me all week, how God delivered. I see Gloria. Gloria and her husband travel with us with that huge gospel tent, I think it's 5 years or so. She was an executive secretary in a big paper company, and they made boxes and all in Akron, Ohio. Her husband built tires in one of the rubber plants, I think it's Firestone. When I started to go with the huge gospel tent again after the great Akron revival, they said, "We're going with you." I said, "What?" And I want to tell you, down through the years in ministry, I'd never run on to a more faithful and dedicated couple that stood with us through thick and thin in the ministry of God. Glory, stand and give us a word for the Lord tonight. We're glad to see you here tonight. I haven't seen her in 35 years. Unless the Lord has something else for us. And it's from the Epistle of John. And it's chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, says something like this. Love not the world. You know, if we just pick up the New Testament and read through it, the nots and the shall and will nots, and just take them for face value, really changes, wouldn't it? Like asking you, shall, maybe, sometimes, perhaps, you shall receive. See, can you? Shall find. Here he said, love not the world. There's a reason. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These things are the world. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eye. Number three, the pride of life. Listen to this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Listen, friend, and the world passeth away. There'll only be a new heaven and a new earth. The world passeth away and the lust of it. But he that doeth the will, notice, you don't need to know the will only, you need to do the will of God. People have always wanted, know the will. Go on and do the will. Have you done everything he's already showed you in his word and through his spirit? We don't need him to reveal more will when we haven't done what he's already told us to do. But he that doeth the will of God does what? Abideth forever. Father, bless your eternal word in Jesus' name. Stir our minds and stir our hearts. And keep us in that love of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I said earlier, Love can conquer. I didn't say in these words, but love can conquer anything. You get people in love with God and they're going to act right. They're going to do right. Try to get them to love their neighbor and you're wasting time. Let them love God with all of their heart, their soul, and mind, and their strength. And what happened? They will love their neighbor as thyself. Now, you remember Jesus said, the law of all the prophets hinges on this. I think I mentioned this. Got a laugh out of the congregation. Didn't mention it for a laugh. But he said, all of the law of the prophets hinge on this. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, strength, and love thy neighbors thyself. Do you ever see a squeaking door? Do you ever try to open a door and it's wearing a big, giant curved streak on the floor? Surely. Something's wrong with the hinges. You know people blowing off the handle, murmuring and grumbling, complaining. Nothing goes to suit them right. You know people that are talking about their neighbors all the time? Now, don't you tell anyone I told you this so they can tell it. You know what's wrong? One of her hinges is loose. If you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, brother, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Now, before I get deep in this message, I'd simply like to say this. God has an issue against this world. You and I think it's a lovely place. Well, the trees, the mountains, many times I thank God for the sky. Oh, I'm a real goofball. But I don't show this off all around everybody else. I'm not putting on a religious act. But I say, Lord, I thank you for that beautiful tree. I thank you for the grass. Thank you for the water. Thank you for a roof over our head. Thank you for the bed. Thank you for the food. And when you bless the food or sanctify the food, start quoting a promise of God over it, would you? Start quoting a promise of God. For example, thank you, Lord, for this food. Thou art the one who satisfieth our mouth with good things, Psalms 103, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You've got to claim it and believe it. That rest I preached on this morning, it's all by faith. It's by faith. It's only by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. So God has an issue against the world. Do you know what the Bible said? In James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Again, Jesus said, John 17:14, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. In Ephesians 2:1-2, it said, I have given them thy word. No, that's in John 17:4. Sorry. I have given them thy word, and thy world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In Ephesians, it said in the second chapter, you have made alive who were dead in trespass and sin, in which times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. The Bible said this, pure religion and undefiled in James 1:27, before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. In 2 Peter 1:4, you've heard this many times in my message, by which are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world, the corruption, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Galatians 6:14, the apostle said, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. God has an issue against this world. Now, He doesn't mean nature. He doesn't mean the beautiful things He's placed here. Not at all. But the course of this age, worldliness. You know the church is so worldly, and the world so churchy, there seems to be no dividing line today. Did you hear me? God's people are the come-outers. He gets us to come out of the world. I've been amazed down through the down through the years, how some ministers, they say, "Now, Brother Clem, where's that scripture?" But then they turn around and talk about baseball to somebody else, and they know every batting average in the major leagues, this and that and the other and all the rest. Listen, as long as you keep your priorities straight, but this world is going crazy on ballitis today. I'll tell you, you take a golf club and you swat the ball. You take a hoop and you run and you make a basket with the ball. You take... And I understand just yesterday, some stadiums here even in the South had 70,000, some 80, 86,000 people as they watched a gang of young college kids, 18 to 22 years old, 22 men on a 100-yard football field take a bag of air and chase it and try to beat each other's brains out and break legs and shoulders and spinal columns and all the rest, chasing a bag of air up and down. Oh, what fools these mortals be. I like to play football. I did when I like to play it when I was young. Nothing wrong with a football game, but I want to tell you, if you're wrapped up in the things of the world, latest things of Hollywood, I question whether you love God like you ought to love God or not. I want you to listen to this sermon, because these things of the world, if you ever backslide, here's why you'll backslide. If you ever lose out with God, here is how you're going to lose out with God. The devil came in the Garden of Eden when God had placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and the devil came and he tempted Eve first of all. Now it took all of hell and Satan himself to tempt Eve, but she just winked and old Adam was a goner. But what was it? Tempted on the lust of the flesh, so it's good for food. The lust of the eye, beautiful to behold. And the pride of life, eat and you'll know like God knows. You'll become like God. I don't want to lose out with God, do you? You've got to guard against three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Now come down probably about 4,000 years after that happened in the Garden of Eden, and the whole race of mankind got in such a mess through the fall. What happens? Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, the Son of God, and after he's baptized by John in Jordan, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. The Bible said there he was tempted 40 days and nights. What did the devil say? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. He said, take these, and over in the Mideast, they have some of these. And out west, once in a while, there's areas that have it. But over in the Mideast, they have breadstones. It's baked by the sun so long, and when you're walking out across there, it looks like a loaf of bread. He said, take these stones and turn them into bread. Lust of the flesh. Then, the lust of the eye. Satan said, fall down and worship me. And I'll show you all of the kingdoms of this world. What did the devil say? They're mine and I can give them to whoever I want to. Uh-oh. The Bible said this whole world lieth in the wicked one. No wonder we're strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body like and fashion like unto his glorious body. So, here is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. Then the Bible said that Satan takes him, put him on a great pinnacle of the temple. And Josephus said that pinnacle was hundreds of feet high. It's not there any longer, and we don't have any hardly any accounts of it in ancient history. But a great, and he puts him up there. Of course, Jesus had turned and said, it is written. So Satan uses the same thing, you know. He can quote the Bible, he quoted it, and God's Word, he quoted Eve, but he just added one little word. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely not die. No wonder the Bible said, don't add a word, don't take out a word. God meant what he said and said what he meant. God have mercy if he didn't say what he meant. Why didn't he? So he takes him on this high portico and said, "Leap off now, jump. It is written, the angel shall bear thee up unless you dash your foot against a stone." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, friend, we're either going to go God's way or we're going to fail with God. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, it's the last letter and last epistle the aged apostle wrote. He'd been in prison. My Lord, there's two big lists of things he went through that's in his epistle. The shipwreck, the stoning, the destitution, the beatings, the rejection, all for Christ. And here, Paul, that word means the little one. He's probably a man of small stature. And you know what he says there in the 4th chapter? When you come, and to me this is the most, three of the most heartbreaking writing of Apostle Paul. Never mind in the deeps. Never mind the shipwreck. Never mind the chain he wore, and never mind his defense before King Agrippa and Festus. Never mind the mockery and the lies of the Pharisees hounding him day and night. To me, this is the most heartbreaking. He wrote here in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he said, "When you come, bring my coat." He closes that chapter and says, "Come diligently before winter." He's in a prison cell and he's saying, "It's cold in this place. And I only have one coat." Maybe he loaned it to a fellow laborer, a yoke fellow, one of those that travel with him. But he said, "Bring me my coat." The man that wrote practically every doctrine in that New Testament, near the end of his life, because right along there he said, "I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith and God has shown me that I won't be in this body very long." He said, "Please bring me a coat and come before it gets any colder." Then there's another heartbreaking thing there in that 4th chapter, and he says this. He said, "I stood my defense the other day. I stood alone. No man stood with me." He's in Rome. And I understand if one Roman citizen had stepped out, Christian, non-Christian, said, "I know this man. That's Saul of Tarsus. He was born free. He's a Roman citizen. He's been mistreated." Off the chains would have gone and he'd probably walked out a free man. And he said, "I stood my defense and no man." He gave his whole life. He said, "No man stood with me." In chapter 1, I believe verse 15, he says this, "All of those in Asia have turned away from me." After establishing all of those churches, after dragging the cross of Jesus Christ, and one man through his ministry literally shook the old Roman Empire off of its hinges of paganism and threw it out into Christianity, and the gospel was preached to every man under heaven. And now he needs a coat. Defense, no one stood with him. And all in Asia turned away. And then he personalizes it. He says this. He says, "Demas, my co-worker, has forsaken me." How many want to go all the way with Jesus? Everything's not going to be lovely and rosy all the way. But it'll be worthwhile, and it's worth it all when you see Jesus. Demas, this young man, I can picture it. Paul's in and out of prison. They're escaping with their life. They make night trips. They meet a lot of Christians on the other side of the tracks. So when they're going down through the street called Straight in Damascus, or when they're going around the amphitheater or the Forum or the Maxim Circus in Rome, Demas, the young fellow, sees the bright lights. He hears the music. He sees the cafes, on the street cafes, sidewalk cafes, people enjoying themselves, people having fun. Demas keeps looking. Before long, I see Paul and his party walking, say, "We must hurry, believers are meeting on the riverbank." And they have to wait. Demas is lingering back like Peter when he followed afar off on that night when they took Jesus. Thank God, at least Peter was following, even if he did fall afar off. The rest of the disciples didn't fall at all. But Demas lingers back. Before long, what happens? A young fellow that's on fire for God. A young fellow that could stand and say, "I love the Lord. Jesus Christ is my all in all." But before long, he goes back into the world and he's missing. Friend, the brokenhearted apostle writes, and it's forever in God's Word, "Demas hath forsaken me, loving the pleasures of this world." Loving them more than he loved God. What happened? When you quit loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it opens up for the devil's temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You and I, in human reasoning and human understanding, can never fight. We're not equal to Satan. He's had at least 6,000 years, maybe more, of damned souls. You and I cannot stand against him like flesh to spirit, which is impossible to do it. Satan, I'm not trying to brag on him, but I give him credit. He's no laughing matter. The Bible said it. Peter wrote and said, "Be sober. Act like you got some sense." He said, "Be sober. And be vigilant. Be on the guard." Your adversary, your personal adversary, writing it to believers, your adversary, which is the devil, goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You say, "Bless God, I have Jesus and I got the Holy Ghost and I don't care a thing about the devil." That's another sinning head that's ready to take a big fall. If the Bible tells us to be sober and be wide awake and vigilant, we better obey God. When we lose the love of God, what happens? Lust of flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Now back in 2 Samuel 11th chapter, let's use some biblical examples right quickly here. Aren't you glad that you've come to the camp? Yeah. Haven't you been blessed with all of these wonderful teachers? Now, it's time of war. And the Bible said simply this, David, King David, he's king now, tarried at Jerusalem. One thing to go and tarry in Jerusalem, do you be endued with power from on high? But let me tell you, if you get off of the battlefront and start taking it easy and let everybody else do, how many people have you brought to a church in the last year? How many have you picked up off of the street? How many have you witnessed to? I can say these things because our life, we constantly do it. We don't tell people about it, we just do it. But David tarried at Jerusalem. It's a time of war. It's time when men go out and fight the battle. But you know, well, I've done my fighting. I'll let someone else do it now. Long as God gives you life, He has a purpose in life and strength on this earth. And God doesn't owe me one more second to keep my heart going, that electrical charge, if I'm going to be useless to Him in the kingdom of God. No need to keep me here. So David tarried at Jerusalem. When do men fail God? When do men backslide? When you get in the wrong place, the wrong time? He tarried at Jerusalem. I guess his conscience was bothering him. He's wondering how the army's doing out there. So he got up at night, couldn't sleep. And he got up and he walked on the wall and he looked, and a woman was bathing. I don't blame David completely. That woman had enough sense to know if she bathed there nude that anyone come out on that wall, look over the wall, they could see her bathing. But she is a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba. And you know the classic story. The Bible said that she is very beautiful, and David inquired, and he sent for her. The devil said, "You're king. They're fighting a battle for you out there on the battlefield. You've got this thing all set. Go ahead, David. Nobody will know about it. And here I am preaching about it. 3,000 years later, calling names and the address. A few years ago, a friend of mine went through the Holland Tunnel up in New York, and guess what? When he came out the other side, he said he saw the largest billboard he'd ever seen in his life, and it was a Hollywood production, The Sins of David and Bathsheba. Hollywood is declaring it. The devil said, "Go ahead. Go ahead." But he took that woman as Uriah's wife. Her husband's out on the battlefield. She committed adultery. God sent a prophet and said, "Boy, don't you hate these prophets? When you're in the wrong, it makes you nervous, doesn't it?" God had a prophet. "You know, King David, I've got to speak to you." "Why, certainly, what is it?" "There was a man that had a lot of lambs. And his neighbor had one little lamb that slept in his bosom. Now this man that had many lambs, he wanted to put on a big feast. He went and got this man's one little lamb, took it, sacrificed it, and fed it to his guest. Boy, David, I can see him, red-headed fellow, clenching his jaws, doubling up his fist. Where is that man? He'll die." Father God said, "Keep your shirt on, old boy. Thou art the man. You had a wife. You have a harem here. And you take another man's wife, and be sure your sins will find you out. There's a payday someday. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," said David. David's conscience bothered him. What did David do? Thought he'd cover this thing up. He told him to send Uriah home. He said, "Go and eat and drink." He said, "No, my buddies are out there, and the Ark of the Covenant's out on the battlefield, and that's where I want to go, and I want to go back out there and fight the battle." He said, "Now go down, celebrate with your wife." Uriah said, "Nothing doing." David got him drunk and thought he'd go home. Instead, he slept at the servant's gate. Didn't do it. So David said, "Well, you see, what I'm trying to say is, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll make you worse than you want to be. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. One sin, domino effect leads to another." So he sends a message and said, "In the next battle, send Uriah out there and then withdraw for him, let him get killed." Now he has adultery, and now he has... And the Bible said, "Woe unto those that give their neighbor drink." He's got another fella drunk. And now, murder. The prophet said, "David, the sword will never leave your house. All this tragedy is going to come upon you. be sure your sins will find you out. Now, for time's sake, I've got to skip over this. But the lust of the flesh is of the world. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. How about the lust of the eye? There was a man up in Samaria, Naboth, and he had a beautiful vineyard. Boy, he had a green thumb, and he just knew how to grow things right and left. And he had the most beautiful place and garden in the kingdom. And one day he hears bugles blowing. And he hears the rumble of chariots. And he hears the foot soldiers. And he wonders and says, I wonder where King Ahab is going today. But all at once the whole procession stops in front of his gate. And Ahab gets out of his chariot. Naboth, I want to see your beautiful vineyard. And I brought Jezebel along too. Uh-oh. That spineless thing called Ahab. So here goes Jezebel and Ahab, and they go out and they say, oh, look at this. Ah! Oh, beautiful, beautiful, the most lovely thing I've ever seen. So the king comes and says, Naboth, I'm going to buy your vineyard. He said, oh, king, your honor, it's not for sale. Oh, no, I'll give you any price you want. No, it's not for sale. I'll give you double price. No, it's not for sale. He said, well, surely, I'll give you a vineyard a lot larger than this one. He said, king, this is an inheritance in my family. You remember under law? After on that year of Jubilee, that property had to go back to the original family. He said, no, you can't have it. The Bible said that old Ahab went home and he couldn't sleep. Did you ever want something so bad you couldn't sleep, couldn't eat? And boy, Jezebel urging it on too. So she tells him, oh, don't, you're king. Don't let this bother you. I'll fix this thing. So she goes out and gets two sons of Belial. You got some of them around Garland County in Arkansas. You give them a half pint of liquor and they'd vote for Yellow Dog and put him in the White House for president. Sometime I think they have once or twice. Got these two sons of Belial and forged a lie. You'd be surprised today. God spoke to me 3 years ago, and I never dreamed this. He said, I have to cleanse. I have to cleanse the judicial system in this nation before I can do the holy work I want to do. I thought, well, what's that got to do with me? But I was before I came in here from Florida, before the Supreme Court of the state of Arkansas, privately. Had a lot of correspondence with them. So she lied. You'd be amazed how many Christian people have been drugged through the courts in this nation. I had a man sue me in my ministry in Ohio for $750,000. Everybody laughed. The attorneys laughed and everything else. But the governor's office called me. Wasn't the governor's, lieutenant governor. Said, for our political reasons, the governor's at my right hand, but he wants me to talk to you, Clement. I said, I understand. Say on. He said, the governor wants me to tell you that we're back up you 100%. And of all the counties in Ohio, any judge would laugh and throw that silly, ridiculous lawsuit out, but said, not in Mahoning County where you are, because the mafia and the underworld operates the whole thing there. Took me 5 years, $25,000. I was lucky. And guess what? After 5 years of harassment, things in the newspaper, complete lies, no thread of truth, they just well sued me for stealing elephants. Because there's no fact to any of it. Not that their side and my side is just a fake thing. This little article in the paper and said not one shred of evidence had ever been presented to the court, and that Clement Humbert is scot-free. But you got those sons of Belial, and they lied, and they said Naboth blasphemed God. Well, you know what the law says under law. Wasn't that something for Ahab and Jezebel to do? Look how wicked, most wicked king of Israel, the most wicked woman, almost, I guess, of all time, unless Saramis beat her a little bit. Nimrod, guess what? They got Naboth and said, you blasphemed God, and the elder of the city took him out and stoned him to death. That's what under law it said they had to do. So King Ahab and Jezebel gets in the royal chariot, and the foot soldiers running, and the trumpets are blowing, and they go back. And they look the place over. And she says, oh, I didn't see this before. This is wonderful. Oh, Ahab. Oh, I just love this place. But God's always had a man. God's always had a man. When he can't use a man, he uses a woman. When he can't use a man or woman, he'll use a jackass to rebuke the false prophet. If God can speak through a jackass, you ought to know he can speak through any one of us here today. God said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. If we become the tail, that's of our own devising. God didn't have anything to do with it. But God has a man and a prophet. Elijah comes through the vines, sees Ahab and Jezebel looking over the beautiful garden. Points his bony finger. Ah, King Ahab, oh, hast thou found me. He's Ahab, let me tell you something, buddy. You stoned Naboth, and wild dogs came and licked up his blood. Those same dogs. My Lord, the prophetic word of God ought to scare us to death in reverence toward Him. And He said, those same dogs will lick your blood up. I hear Jezebel say, Ahab, we don't have any time for this foolish Lake Hamilton camp meeting stuff of deliverance. Let's get out of here. The prophet of God said, wait a minute. Sister Jezebel, keep your skirt on. The dogs are not going to just lick your blood up. The dogs are going to eat you. These things the world, the lust of flesh and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That last thing, we use two scriptures. In Luke, it said there was a certain rich man, fared simply every day. Notice, my barns, what will I do with all of my goods? You know the master minute when he said, lay not up treasures on earth with thieves break through and steal, and moth the corrupt, but lay up your treasures in heaven. The master minute when he said this, the words of Jesus from his lips, he said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? You're not going to gain it all. Quit trying. At the expense of your soul. What shall it profit man if he shall gain the whole world and then die and lose his own soul? Or what would he give in exchange for his soul? So here, the rich man says, my goods, my barns, I will do this. My, me, my. God looks down, shakes his head, and says, thou fool. You know when God calls a person a fool or just a big fool, period, that's it. Because God is saying it. God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. Then, whose goods? Everybody said, you hear the rich man died last night. What did he leave? Everything. How much? All of it. And I'm using both stories. It said, like Dives and Lazarus. Not just stories. It's actual reality. Rich man lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment. I would to God there wasn't hell. Dr. Noel, one time, in my younger days. I spent 2 weeks getting every reference book I could and all. I believe God's Bible and all of that. But I studied one thing. Hell. More I studied, the scarier I got. I'd always believed in it. But I kept crying, my God, surely not, surely not, surely not. Weeping in nations, weeping in hell because, you know why there's weeping? They just missed heaven. Then gnash your teeth, blaspheming curses. Oh, God is a God of love. He sends no man to hell. You're right, brother. You send yourself to hell. God's provided salvation. He's provided heaven. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, drove a cross up to Calvary, died between heaven and earth. God sends no one to hell. You send yourself to hell by rejecting the Son of God. And that upright member of the cross from earth to heaven, and the cross member from the past into the future and future eternity. So the rich man died and was in hell. Now let's pick up. Is there payday same day? Run to a little rocky hillside outside of Jerusalem, and there was David and a handful of people. You heard John a couple of nights ago preach concerning one of those individuals that stood on the wayside, and David, King David is running for his life. Absalom had revolted. Amon had raped his half-sister Tamar. All hell turned loose in David's household. Later, his wives were publicly ravished in the sight of everybody, like the prophet of God said. He's running for his life, and a commoner runs up and kisses and spits at him. And David's sword bearer jerks out his sword and says, "My Lord, let me kill this dog." And David was a man after God's own heart. And David did repent. But let me tell you, he paid an awful price. You can pull out the nail, but the scar is still there. You can turn to God, and God can forgive and save from the uttermost to the uttermost. But listen here, you sow those wild oats, and there's going to be a harvest. God is merciful, and God is good, and heaven's worth all of it. But those people who think they can sin and sin and sin and sin and get by with it, you better read in Hebrews what it said. You count that blood as an unholy thing. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Go ahead, the devil said, through the lust of the flesh. David, no one will ever know anything about it. He lost the kingdom, finally had to be restored. What about Ahab and Jezebel? Ahab maybe was a little scared in his boots, and he's going out to war, and he said, "Well, I'll make a league with the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat." And he got Jehoshaphat up there. And they said, let's get some prophets to tell us what to do. And they got these prophets of Baal. One of them stopped by the blacksmith shop and had him some horns made. And he running, rooted another around, you know, and said, "If I'm moving this man, you're going to move your enemy off the face of the earth. Go on, king, go to war." And old Jehoshaphat had a little bit of spiritual sense. He said, "There's a cracked bell ringing." What an insult. He turned around and he said, "Look, is there a prophet of God around here? There's 400 of them prophesying." They said, "Yeah, this little guy up here in the sticks. You know what? He's embarrassing to us because his trousers come to about here. And he's always wrinkled up. It looks like he's slipping his suit. He's not always clean shaven. And I want to tell you something. He hadn't got any more sense than to point his bony finger under a king's nose and say, 'Get right with God, brother, or God's got your number.'" And Jehoshaphat said, "Hey, great, get him in here." So they sent a committee, and God have mercy on these committees. God never promised. I'll tell you, I've got so sick of church boards and committees down through the years.
like the fellow that saw a giraffe the first time said, God didn't create that for me.
But they took a committee and they went up to the prophet and said, come down, but we want to put a little bug in your ear. Everybody's saying, go on, go on. Now, if you want to be in the in crowd and be taken care of and be able to get a handsome reward and a gift, you get in there and say, go to battle, go to battle. He said, look, I'll say whatever the Lord puts in my mouth. You would be amazed how many pulpits this morning, even in Garland County, one or two money people or some sore-headed board member has told the preacher what to do or not do, and the preacher is scared, that God bless him, but he's scared to death. They'll hold the salary or they'll give him his walking papers and get somebody else. You can have all that stinking organized religion. I am one of them, and there's people in this room that are determined. We're not independent cusses. We're not hateful, but we intend to follow the Lamb of God wheresoever He leadeth. And brother, go with or without, and still trust God, because God is still on the throne and God's voice is still heard on this earth, and I'll preach the words that God places in my mouth. That's exactly what the prophet said. The prophet went down there and tried to compromise, but God wouldn't let him, and he said, little jig's up, Ahab. He said, listen, take this prophet of God and put him in prison. Give him water and stale bread till I get back. He said, if you get back, old boy, God hadn't spoken through my mouth. So go out there on the battlefield. They used to have some sense. They'd battle all day, and when the sun went down, they'd quit their battle. They'd all go home, get a good night's rest, or get in their tents. Then at daylight, they'd get up and start battling again. So it was way late in the afternoon. The king of Syria said, look, this whole thing will come apart if we find King Ahab. Find the king. But the king disguised himself like a regular soldier. And the sun was going down. And old Ahab is riding in the chariot. And he said, ha, 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 those crazy prophets. I'm not coming back from this battle alive. Sun's going down. Almost everybody quit fighting. And there was a soldier that had a new bow and arrow. He thought, I wonder how far this arrow would shoot. And when he pulled back on the string, guess what? An angel pulled a little with him. Wow, I didn't know I had that much strength. Look at that chariot. Way up over there. Oh, I might shoot halfway there, third way there. I can hear the fellow stand around and say, go ahead, shoot. An angel just... And that arrow kept flying, 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 and old Ahab... Nabal's blood, those dogs. I'm not coming back from the battle. Zip! That arrow went through the side of the chair and into his hip. Oh! Oh, pull out the side of the road. I'm dying. Where was he? He was right near those hound dogs that licked up the blood of Nabal. Be sure your sins will find you out. A payday someday. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Oh, I can play around with the world and get by with it, Brother Humbert. Don't kid yourself. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. How about Jezebel? Jehu came in with invading force. The Bible said that Jezebel painted her face and looked out a window. Boy, she's got to play up the other side now. But Jehu looked up and said, who's on the Lord's side up there? The eunuch said, we are. He said, throw that hussy down. And they threw her out the window. And her blood trickled down those ancient walls. Jehu and his men just marched right on down to the big celebration, and all the horses just trampled her. A Queen Jezebel.
during the celebration. A man comes up to the general, General Jerry, who, yes? Your Honor, I know we're having a big time in this celebration tonight, but you know what? That was a queen, and that's a king's daughter that we left in the alley back there. All right? Captain, you take care of it. He gets a burial detail. Said, come on, what are we going to do? We're going to go down here and bury the king, the queen. She's a king's daughter, and she's a wife of a king, so we're going to go and bury him. They got down there, looked around, and there's a pack of old floppy-eared hounds there. They get out their swords, cling them together, do a lot of hooping. Get these dogs out of here. They got the dogs out. All that was left was the palm of the hands and the soles of the feet. Garbage street dogs had eaten Jezebel. Ah, you can run on a long time. You can run on a long time, but like that colored spiritual says, but Lord God Almighty is going to strike you down. But what about the rich man? Lust the flesh, lust eyes, and the pride of life. Ah, mine! They had the longest funeral, biggest funeral they ever had in Garland County. Rich man died. 3 or 4 miles traffic. When my young nephew in Akron, Ohio, died in some kind of mysterious swimming or water accident up at Mackinac Island, this young fellow knows Mackinac there. He's a real godly fellow. He had won 2 or 3 teachers at school to the Lord. That year he'd won almost everyone in his class to Jesus. We don't know why God took him home. But when he died, Akron, Cleveland, Canton, Warren, Youngstown, all through there, Cuyahoga Falls, so many people came, they had to use helicopters to direct traffic. It took 2 hours for the cars together at the cemetery. They couldn't handle it. But here a rich man died. I'm sure they honored him. And oh, the eulogies, the mayor, the congressman. What a great man. Garland County needs more people like this. The business community, the economic community. And what a great man. And he's in hell praying for water to cool his tongue. These things the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If you and I will keep ourselves in the love of God, keep a baptism of love. When Bob Harrington ran out on God, he is a friend of the family down through the years, the chaplain of Bourbon Street. When he met Oral Roberts asked him one question. Said, Bob, why did you quit loving Jesus? Every one of us got to have such a devotion and love for the Lord God of glory that these lights, like Demas, would turn aside the sounds, the smell, the laughter of the world. Cannot get you off. You've got your eyes looking unto Him who is invisible, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. That means you, the originator and the perfecter of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Not on churches. God, thank God for every church that preaches anything of the truth. But you've got to look beyond ministers. We even have to look, with all due respect, beyond campgrounds, teachers, preachers. You've got to keep looking to Jesus. Keep in love with Him. Don't lay anything. And remember, I said you don't backslide over other people's sins. You don't lose out over other people's sin. You lose out over your own. You just use that for some kind of excuse to excuse yourself. I'll guarantee you that you will never be taken in by the devil on the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life if you will not love the world but love God with your whole heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. God bless you. Thank you for being in attendance tonight. And I hope that what has been said and done at this camp, because many of you will not be in the sessions tomorrow. As the lady said, she's taking it home with her. As one said, I feel like I have 12 baskets full. That's wonderful. The Bible said, give heed, lest at any time we let the Word of God slip, and it will. How many love the Lord? Stand to your feet. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now I want you to lift your hand and sing this little chorus. We hardly ever hear it, and we used to hear it till it, I'll tell you, we almost wore it out years ago. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because.
If anybody wants to come down.
Yes, I will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, grant us this miracle. Any soul here, the nearest soul to eternity that's without God in this place, I pray that the Holy Spirit will give a divine, supernatural call. And Lord, if we in this group have found favor in Thy sight, give as much Holy Ghost conviction as You're ever going to give in a lifetime. Do I have a man, woman, boy, or girl, or how many in this place to say, Brother Clement, I'm not sure of my eternal destiny. I'm not sure my heart's right with God. And I believe this truth that you've preached tonight, but I'm going to walk down this aisle. I'm going to come here, and I'm going to request prayer, and I'm going to ask God to give me a no-so victory in my salvation. If there's any that needs it, get in the aisle right now and come right here to the front. How many would like to devote yourself afresh and anew to the love of God, to love Jesus with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength? Would you step out and come this way just for a brief prayer of soul? Would you come this way? All right, we have a couple of announcements. All right. Just come and kneel and we'll start dealing with you.
You said a new.
Yes, sir.
I need a new start.
That's all right. Praise God. God grant it for Brother Martin. My God, to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, every disobedient thought into captivity. Zenith him up and give him a baptism of love, Lord. Divine baptism of the love of God. See the heights and the breadths and the depths of that divine love of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Jesus, shouting victory. Walking with my Jesus, shouting victory. Walking with my Jesus, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.